Harlequin plays Friday night at Nashville's in the Canada Inn's Transcona. You can call 694-SHOW or Google Harlequin Nashville's for tickets. I wanted to check in with George Bélanger. He's on the line. Hey, brother.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing awesome. Okay, so we've done this a few times in advance of Harlequin shows. I want you to take us behind the curtain today because I always enjoy your stories on the golf course, the ones we can tell. So your end of the business is insane. Now, I remember you telling me one time about playing Clear Lake back in the day that says a lot about the business. Can you tell that story? Do you remember the one?
Oh, yeah, it's a great story. It's if anybody's ever been to Clear Lake, there's a huge timber building there that's called, well, it was called Danceland. I know what it's called now, but it was Danceland. And the original owner was this old fella, and he'd been around for a long time. I think he actually cut the logs. Anyways, we show up, you know, and bring in our gear and that, and he comes and introduces himself and says, gives us a lowdown, you know. He says, "You guys are very fortunate to be here because, you know, Frank Sinatra played here, Tommy Dorsey, Benny Goodman, all these cats, you know, they're really, really good musicians and that. I don't know about the stuff you guys play now, but, you know, anyways, make yourselves comfortable, you know, help yourselves. There's, you know, you go see the girl at the front there. We've got hot dogs. We've got malts. We've got French fries, all kinds of things, whatever, you know.
Malts.
Yeah. So he's going on and on about, you know, this and that and the other thing. And he was a real stickler for times. And, you know, if we're a minute late, we're going to get fined and this and that. So he goes through his whole spiel. We played there for 3 days. It was a long weekend or something like that. And at the end of the thing, of course, we were starving musicians at the time. And our drummer was, you know, burned a lot of calories. So he had several hot dogs and a lot of milkshakes. So he brings out the settlement and he pulls out the sheet. Okay, you had 37 hot dogs. At, so we're going, oh, my God. So by the time we were in a deficit position the 3 days.
But you got to play that legendary venue.
Oh, we did, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We could count ourselves in there with Frankie.
It reminds me of bands when they're starting out just going nuts on the perks and not realizing that they're paying for it. Now, when you've got a rider that asks for certain foods or drinks backstage. I'm talking about like a bigger tour, like an arena tour or something like that. Maybe higher end travel. That all gets billed back to the band, doesn't it? Or how does that kind of thing work?
Well, maybe in back then, I don't know. They have some arrangement for,
okay.
But for us, it's done through an agent.
Got it.
And it becomes part of the contract. And if the client says this is a little excessive, well, you know, then negotiate, you know.
There you go.
Because I always follow up with the people or the road manager does, and, you know, we're reasonable.
Make sure those hot dogs and malts are covered, George.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so based on some of the stories I've heard, I always think of either that scene in the Blues Brothers where they're behind that chicken wire fence to protect them from the stuff that's being thrown, or Hardcore Logo, which I just watched again, where all sorts of mayhem is going on. You ever have any crazy brawls break out while you're in the middle of a set?
Well, it's amazing. Back in the old days, this was pre-Harlequin, of course, you know, when we used to go to these small towns and you had long hair.
Right.
And all the girls were ogling you, and the guys were mad, and you know they weren't. They used to call them greasers back in the day.
Yeah.
So it was a given that you would be likely in a fight that night, or would be trying to escape with your life somehow. Whenever you went to a small town, you used to roll the bases off the mic stands and just carry one piece of equipment out at a time with the mic stand in your hand in case you. Someone
wow.
wanted to beat you up. But one that comes to mind is we played Thunder Bay on Halloween, and one of our guys, the bigger guys who used to do lights and security for us, probably about 275, 6'1", and he was wearing a pink tutu and leggings and steel toes.
As you do.
So he was doing his job, and we were playing a gig for Greenpeace in Thunder Bay, and it was kind of a hall, kind of a social idea where there was tables set up. Well, these two guys walk in. It was like out of a saloon or like a Clockwork Orange, actually. And these two guys come in, and they're dressed up, like gangsters or whatever. They
yeah.
jump up on the tables, and they start kicking people in the head and stuff.
Holy smokes.
So, yeah, so my guy is doing spotlight, and he sees these guys, and of course, he's a gentleman. And when the guy, he saw him kick a lady in the head, he just jumped up and grabbed these two guys, threw him down the stairs, but you can just picture this one guy with a big tutu taking on these two guys, and they were so, I think they were more offended at the way he looked because it made them look absolutely ridiculous.
Well, and don't forget the leggings.
The leggings, yeah. So he threw them down the stairs, was up in a hall. They went downstairs somewhere, and they picked up these pool cues, and they came back up the stairs coming at him. One thing led to another, and he had to do it all over again. And finally, the cops came. And when the cops came, they saw this guy in the big tutu. they were just laughing and killed themselves laughing. And the other two guys were in the back of the cop car, and they were making signs like they were going to shoot him with their fingers. They're going to go right home and get their guns and kill him or whatever. But, yeah, no, there's always something going on at most gigs that a lot of people don't get to see. But that was right out in the open.
And you guys probably let that one go. You probably never reminded him of it, right?
Well, that same guy, believe it or not, we were playing in Toronto at the Gasworks. This is when the band was just starting, and we used to have pyrotechnics, you know?
Okay.
And we had these two pots on each side of you, about 2 feet away on my left and 2 feet away on my right. And they would shoot flames up in the air about 20 feet. And then our drummer, Dave, he had a kit like Neil Peart's, you know, went all the way around. And, you know, once he was behind there, you could hardly see him because there was drums and cymbals and microphones hanging everywhere. He had a gong behind him. And we're going to start the show. And the show starts, of course, on four. And on four, off go the flames, you know.
Yep.
So I see him, the drummer, he's starting to count it in. And the guitar player, His guitar is not working, and he's shaking the cord, and he's trying to get it going. So the same guy I'm talking about with the tutu,
yeah,
but he wasn't wearing a tutu this time, he sees it, and he runs through the crowd, and he's jumping up on the stage, and he happens to put his arm right over the pot.
Oh, man.
And the light man, once he heard four, he hit the switch, set the thing off, and next thing, now his whole shirt's on fire, his hair is on fire, and he's running through the crowd, and it's funny in retrospect.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't funny at the time. He made a beeline for the other guy and grabbed him by the throat because he was a little irate, but then he let it go. But
no kidding.
Everybody saw that.
Yeah.
It was a flaming hairdo running through the bar. It was
thought it was the greatest show ever.
They came back the next night. They wanted to see the same thing.
Yeah, what's with this? Told all their friends about it.
We're the human sacrifice.
Unbelievable. Friday night, Nashville's Canadiens T-Kona for Harlequin. Headstones, by the way, speaking of hardcore logo, playing a sold-out show at Club Regent. So I would encourage people who are going to that show to do what I'm doing. Keep the night going after that show by heading down the street to Nashville's to catch you guys.
Absolutely.
Sounds like
you
a plan.
Know. There might be another human sacrifice.
Yeah, right? Tickets at 694-SHOW or Google Harlequin Nashville's. George, always good to catch up. We'll see you Friday night.
Thanks, Kelly. A pleasure always.